Most animals would be utterly baffled by human sexuality. We have sex when we're infertile, continue through pregnancy, maintain intimacy after menopause, and insist on privacy. These everyday behaviors are actually extraordinary aberrations in the natural world. While your dog mates publicly and only during fertile periods, humans have developed a relationship with sex that's as complex as our relationship with food, art, or spirituality. Consider the stark contrast. Most mammal fathers contribute nothing beyond sperm. A lion doesn't recognize his cubs specifically. A wolf protects the pack but doesn't focus on his own offspring. Yet human fathers invest years, sometimes decades, in raising children, a commitment so unusual it required profound evolutionary rewiring. Female baboons advertise fertility with swollen, brightly colored buttocks. House cats release distinctive scents. Human women? No visible signals whatsoever. Menopause, which defines the second half of women's lives, barely exists in wild mammals. Only certain whales share this peculiarity. Even bonobos, our closest relatives in recreational sex, lack our unique combination of concealed ovulation, strong pair bonds, and dedicated fatherhood. These aren't minor quirks. They're the evolutionary adaptations that made language, art, and civilization possible. We assume fathers should help raise children, but this makes mammals exceptionally weird. In most species, males provide zero parental care, focusing entirely on finding new mates. Natural selection creates brutal conflicts between parents over child rearing, who can desert first to pursue new reproductive opportunities. The outcome depends on embryo investment, alternative mating opportunities, and parenthood confidence. Mothers typically invest far more. A human egg has a million times the mass of sperm. After fertilization, mothers commit additional resources through pregnancy and lactation, while males can immediately seek new partners. Females also have absolute maternity certainty. Males face perpetual paternity uncertainty. These pressures explain why female-only care predominates in mammals. Yet remarkable exceptions exist. In externally fertilized species like certain fish and frogs, males gain paternity confidence by immediately guarding eggs they've just fertilized. The male midwife toad wraps eggs around his legs. Glass frogs guard eggs above streams. Male sticklebacks build protective nests. In stranger cases, like jacanas and phalaropes, females compete fiercely to acquire harems of smaller males who incubate their eggs, because shorebirds lay only 4 large eggs that exhaust females, creating intense female competition with ratios reaching 7-1. The third exception occurs when single parents cannot successfully rear offspring alone. Ancient hunter-gatherer children who lost either parent faced reduced survival, making it evolutionarily advantageous for fathers to provide food, protection, and housing. Male lactation seems impossible, yet the physiological capacity exists. Male pigeons produce milk, male seahorses get pregnant, and some men lactate spontaneously or when given hormones. Both sexes have mammary glands. Males can produce milk through hormone injection, certain medications, or even nipple stimulation, which triggers natural hormone-releasing reflexes. Spontaneous male lactation occurs in men recovering from starvation, male goats, captive stump-tailed macaques, and wild dyak fruit bats, where males naturally develop functional mammary glands. The evolutionary battle of the sexes explains why male lactation never became standard. In 90% of mammal species, offspring survive with zero paternal care. Males with lactation mutations would be outbred by those investing energy in impregnating more females. Even in species requiring paternal care, lactation isn't the most valuable contribution. Lion fathers better serve by driving off predators, wolf fathers by hunting for nursing mothers, gibbon fathers by protecting territory, tasks compromised by staying to nurse offspring. Unlike most mammals, humans engage in recreational sex without awareness of female fertility. While female baboons display obvious physical signals during ovulation and restrict mating to fertile periods, human ovulation remains concealed. Without scientific testing, humans cannot detect when fertilization is possible, leading to nearly continuous sexual activity throughout the menstrual cycle, during pregnancy, and even after menopause. From an evolutionary perspective, this seems wasteful. Sex is costly. Sperm production requires resources, mating takes time from finding food, and competition for mates risks injury. The daddy-at-home theory suggests concealed ovulation evolved to keep men with their mates through frequent mating. The competing many-fathers theory views it as protection against infanticide through paternity confusion. Research reveals nearly half of primate species lack visible ovulation signs. By studying the primate evolutionary tree, researchers found concealed ovulation evolved primarily in promiscuous species, which later switched to monogamy. Concealed ovulation thus reversed its evolutionary function, first protecting against infanticide, then promoting pair bonding. Traditional anthropology claimed men hunted to feed families while women gathered plants, explaining pair bonding and nuclear families. Kristen Hawkes shattered this view, studying Paraguay's northern Aceh Indians. Men's hunting yields lower returns than women's reliable palm starch gathering. Surprisingly, successful hunters share meat widely, often prioritizing unrelated individuals over their own families. The reality reflects fundamental reproductive asymmetries. Multiple partners offer women no advantage once fertilized, but men can dramatically increase offspring through brief affairs. Hawkes identifies two strategies. The provider hunts predictable foods like palm starch and small game, while the show-off pursues dangerous large game with lower average returns but impressive kills that garner status. Women benefit from marrying reliable providers while having occasional relationships with show-offs for extra resources and genetic diversity. Show-offs gain through multiple pathways: extra children, elevated prestige attracting more mates, and preferential treatment of their offspring. Hawkes' calculations showed show-offs likely pass genes to more surviving children than providers, revealing a classic evolutionary conflict between male and female reproductive interests. Human female menopause is evolutionarily bizarre. Most animals remain fertile until death, yet women universally lose fertility around 40, seemingly contradicting natural selection's principle of maximizing descendants. Common explanations fail scrutiny. It's not an artifact of increased lifespans. Male reproduction continues decades past 40. Not unique to humans. Pilot whales show comparable post-reproductive lifespans. And not simple egg depletion. Other long-lived animals maintain viable eggs for 60-plus years. Aging isn't physiologically inevitable. It's about evolutionary investment in maintenance. Species vary dramatically. Turtles live over a century, while laboratory mice die before age 3. We could theoretically avoid aging by investing heavily in repair mechanisms, but maintenance consumes resources that could otherwise fuel reproduction. Menopause provides evolutionary advantages outweighing fewer babies. A hunter-gatherer mother with several children risks losing her genetic investment if she dies before her youngest reaches adolescence, a risk compounded by childbirth dangers that increase with age. Postmenopausal women contribute significantly to grandchildren's survival. Hadza grandmothers work 7-hour foraging days, sharing harvests and providing childcare. This grandmother effect may provide greater genetic success than continued childbearing. Elderly women also serve as crucial tribal libraries in pre-literate societies, preserving vital knowledge about rare resources and survival techniques. Human sexuality's distinctive traits, concealed ovulation, recreational sex, menopause, paternal investment, evolved through reinforcing feedback loops. Concealed ovulation promoted pair bonding, enabling extended childhood crucial for cognitive development. These created unprecedented social dynamics, long-term bonds, cooperative child-rearing, and cultural transmission. Extended post-reproductive lifespans allowed grandmothers to boost grandchildren's survival, the grandmother effect explaining why intergenerational bonds improve child outcomes. Understanding these forces illuminates modern tensions. male-female reproductive strategy conflicts explain jealousy and mate guarding. Universal attraction patterns, facial symmetry, clear skin, certain proportions reflect ancient correlations with health and fertility. These ancient adaptations sometimes clash with modern goals. Recognizing evolutionary legacies helps us navigate relationships more effectively, make informed choices about our sexual lives, and build social structures accommodating both ancient instincts and contemporary aspirations.